Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, liberation, peace, wellness, health, and sustainability for all. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. In this episode, we're featuring vegan awareness and holistic health, breaking free from the herding culture. Interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. And this is by Raw Intuition, Matt from Raw Intuition. And much thanks to Matt for sharing this video with us. And this was 5 years ago. And now we see what has happened in our global world as they're talking about the takeover of all institutions by the carnist agenda. And now here's a snippet of Matt from Raw Intuition.
Inside Scoop. We've got a very special interview for you today. I'm speaking with Dr. Will Tuttle, who is the author of The World Peace Diet, which, in my opinion, is one of the best books out there that covers the far-reaching implications of our food choices and offers a universal set of principles that can allow us to become more free, more intelligent, and more compassionate as a species. So, I mean, it seems like so much of a herding culture goes against our natural intuition.
Right.
You know, it relies on basically us not listening or following our intuition. Does the, I guess, those who are in control of a herding culture, I mean, do they use ways to intentionally suppress our intuition or disconnect us from intuition? And, you know, like, does fear play into this? Does that affect our ability to listen to our intuition? Or how does that all factor in?
The thing is that there's a system in place, and mm-hmm. people are born into that system. Some people are born into the wealthy classes, or they get there somehow.
Yeah.
I don't see those people in the wealthy classes who have, you know, like the 0.1%, the super wealthy that control the media, control most of the institutions in our society, that they're just happy, relaxed, peaceful, joyful people that enjoy dominating, exploiting, and destroying everybody. I think, in a way, they're also the victims of their own violence. And growing up in Boston and being just who my some of my relatives were, quite wealthy, and I directly saw high rates of suicide, alcoholism, and misery in the super rich, you know. So everybody suffers from this. But I think just the basic actions, like when 10,000 years ago, when we started having to impregnate against their will female animals and steal their babies, you know, that's a deeply perverse action. We all know in our bones that if there's one thing we should not mess with, it's mothers giving birth to their babies and then nursing their babies and caring for their babies. But with animal agriculture, that's the one thing you're not – you have to steal the baby and kill the baby. And the mother doesn't want you to do that, but you have to. That's the whole point. You know, you're going to steal and kill the babies, and you're going to impregnate them against their will. All the animals, cows, pigs, chickens, they're all put on rape racks and impregnated. Their babies are stolen and killed. So we're doing this on a massive scale. We're not only doing it, we're paying for it. We're causing it to happen, and we don't just cause it to happen. We then eat it. So that energy of that action, we eat it, and then we feed it to our innocent, vulnerable children. We feed meat and cheese and eggs and this kind of horror, this breaking of the most sacred bond. We feed it to our children. What does that do to us? It just destroys our intuition. Our intuition is the natural wisdom that we all have. We all have this natural wisdom that feels our connection with the larger order and gives thanks every morning for this beautiful earth. And we naturally are here to grow and awaken and be part of a creative expression of life here and to celebrate our lives. And yet animal agriculture is the epitome of everything that would destroy that. I mean, if there's any essence of evil in the world, it is animal agriculture. Animal agriculture, you can't get more evil or satanic than animal agriculture. Imprisoning and raping and killing and breaking the bond between mothers and their offspring and then eating it and feeding it to our children and forcing people into it. This is really heavy duty. We're not taught that. We're taught the opposite. We're taught, oh, hot dogs and hamburgers and fish sticks. Those are your good friends. You know, ranchers and fishermen, those are good things. You know, this is what made our country great. This is how the West was won. This is the great, you know, we're taught that the most hideous, violent, abusive, destructive, sadistic, just anti-life, anti-child, anti-mother actions and behaviors are good. Yeah. I mean, you can't get more wounded. See, we're wounded. That's the key. We're all wounded. Whether we're rich or poor or in the middle, we're all wounded. So the whole idea to me of veganism is simply, it's about two things, awakening and healing. It's healing the wounds that we've all endured at a deep level by being compelled as kids to eat this stuff and to shut down our intuition, our inner wisdom, that would say, whoa, 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 what am I eating? I don't want to eat that. You know. And then not only healing, but then awakening out of the hypnotic trance that we're in. Anyone eating animal foods is in a trance. You cannot not be in a trance if you're eating animal foods. It's impossible. Because you wouldn't do it on your own. We're being exploited. Anyone eating animal foods is being exploited, yeah. Because they're definitely going to spend a lot more money on drugs and pharmaceuticals and everything else and not make the connections. So the whole idea is to make connections, feed our natural intelligence, feed our natural sensitivity, feed our natural intuition, this inner wisdom, this feminine wisdom. I think it's both feminine and masculine. You know, masculine is protection, and the feminine is love and nurturing. I mean, once we see this, that we're eating misery and violence and we're eating disease and devastation, and it's not going to lead anywhere but to more devastation. And we can see it happening. Anyone who's half awake today can see that the trajectory that we're on is a really suicidal. I mean, cutting down, destroying the lungs of the earth and the oceans of the earth and destroying habitat for wildlife, creating, using our energy for creating weapons, we will commit suicide without even knowing why we did it because we're not aware. So it's really about awareness, healing, and awakening. The more vegans there are, that's the great thing. The more people go vegan, the more people are saying, hey, you know, you don't have to do this. The more people are going, And then so it's challenging. People, in a way, hate vegans because we sort of remind them of something that they don't want to look at. But on a deep level, I think people love vegans because we are the only ones who can really heal the situation on the planet right now. So the whole idea is to just, again, somehow skillfully share these ideas, just tell our own story and what we've understood to help people free themselves and heal these wounds so that we can create the world that we can create, which is one of harmony and peace. There's nothing stopping us from that except this obsolete food orientation and the whole range of injustice and the mentality of domination and exploitation that requires.
Yeah, I see science and religion are both pillars of our society, and which, you know, they definitely can provide positive contributions to our culture, but how have they also played a part in kind of protecting the herding culture mentality?
Well, I have a chapter about science and religion. I say there are two sons of the herding culture, and I think that's the thing to understand. The herding culture is the father. The herding culture is the overarching umbrella, and any institution within the herding culture has to serve that overarching herding mentality and way of life. It has to. I mean, it absolutely has to. It doesn't matter what Jesus, I mean, there's a lot of evidence, for example, that Jesus and his disciples were what we would call today vegans. I mean, they ethically did not eat meat or dairy or eggs. Like even the brother, his brother wouldn't wear, it's well known that he wouldn't wear any wool. It's written in something that was written by people who were alive at the time and were actually talking about. There's quite a few books I talk about in the World Peace Diet, the work of Keith Akers and other people, scholars, who write about the people who lived at the time of Jesus, and they all agreed that they didn't eat meat, you know, that they didn't do that. But for Christianity to become the religion of a herding culture, you know, that had to change. You know, that had to be sort of thrown under the bus, and we had Emperor Constantine saying, you know, you better eat meat, you know, if you don't, then you're a heretic. And so the whole thing went upside down, and so that's how it is. And science is the same way, you know, science very clearly, just like religion would question animal agriculture. You know, religion would question on ethical grounds, and science would question it on and health and sustainability grounds, and yet we find both science and religion just basically supporting animal agriculture because they're co-opted and they have to, you know, we have this herding culture. But the good thing is that as our culture evolves away from herding, and it is evolving, then science and religion begin to be used in more positive ways to question the herding culture. But there's a huge tension there. There's a lot of money and a lot of power that does not want that to happen. So that's where the action is right now. It's like, you know, how can science and religion begin to serve life rather than death, and serve the future rather than destroy the future? And that I think each one of us can help in that regard in some way.
Yeah.
You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. Thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. In collaboration with Raw Intuition, Matt Bennett, I'm sharing his interview from 2019 with Dr. Will Tuttle. This segment is about freedom, holistic health, and vegan awareness. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with our program. To Be Free by pianist-composer Will Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're continuing with our feature of Raw Intuition. Here's Matt Bennett and Dr. Will Tuttle continuing their conversation from 2019 about breaking free from the herding culture.
So, as you know, we just got through another voting season, and there was a lot of, you know, every commercial I would see, they were talking about healthcare and taxes and things like that. So if the majority of people would adopt a vegan or a plant-based diet, what sort of impacts would that have on those areas?
Now, vegans are probably only 3% of the population or something like that. And when you say, like, over 50% of the people being vegan, I mean, you're talking about a whole different world. We can't even imagine. I mean, we're talking about a world to get to the point where half, or because I think if half were vegan, then the other half would go vegan too. I mean, you're talking about a vegan world essentially. So to me, it's a beautiful thing to contemplate, but it's pretty far from where we are now. But I think on the other hand, it could happen relatively soon. But I think everything about imagining that kind of a world, a world where people consciously refrain from imprisoning animals, where we liberate animals, we let them live their lives. We're talking about people who are no longer slaves. You know, we don't have a political system that enslaves us. I mean, right now, we don't have a democracy. We have a plutocracy. You know, we have an oligarchy. We have a wealthy elite they have two political parties that are one party. There's only one party. I mean, they're both about war, and they're both about a wealthy elite continuing to control everything. And they play this game that you can vote for this one or vote for that one. But it's just one party. There's not two parties.
Yeah.
So you can never have a government that's more evolved than the people in that country, right? Or in that who are voting or who are there. So if we want a better government, it's up to us to evolve, and then we will have a more evolved government, and we'll have a much healthier economy as well. I mean, massive amounts of money are going into healthcare, massive amounts of money going into war, and huge amounts of money into environmental devastation. I mean, what are we thinking? But again, the whole idea is if you're eating animal foods, the whole teaching of animal foods is don't make the connection, just follow orders. The authorities know what's true. You don't know anything. You don't have any intuition. Just eat your meat and get vaccinated and take the drugs and, you know, all these things that are all reducing our natural health, reducing our natural intelligence, reducing our natural ability to govern ourselves. So the idea of a society based on veganism, it's like this. It's like going through a doorway that opens into another doorway that goes into a whole other world where we are now living in a sustainable way, in a more cooperative way, where we're growing food with love and awareness, where our relationships are based on love and respect, where our education is based on love and respect, and where animals are free to live. We're talking about the planet that we are designed for. We certainly could. Our natural wisdom, our natural sense of kindness and caring, and our creative abilities, we could certainly live in this kind of a world. It's just that we're, animal agriculture just strips those abilities away and throws us basically into a whole different situation. So it's a beautiful thing to think that we can be agents in helping to bring that about. But imagining the economy, it would be so different. You know, I think much more people living closer to the earth, growing food with awareness. And I think when we grow food with awareness, without any animal inputs, without any bone meal or blood meal, without any manure. Recent studies have shown that it's actually more efficient. You get more yield per acre without animal inputs. And the food itself would become medicine.
Breaking free from the herding culture. Interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. And this is by Raw Intuition. And this was 5 years ago. And now here's a snippet of Matt from Raw Intuition with his interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, and this one is from 1 year ago, and that is titled, Why We Must Seek the Truth. And again, much thanks to Matt for sharing this.
This is the Raw Misfit Show, where two long-term raw vegans explore diet and lifestyle solutions to modern-day health issues. Today's topic, why we need to be truth seekers. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Raw Misfit Show. I am your host, Matt, from myrawintuition.com, and we are going to be going live with the one and only Dr. Will Tuttle.
Greatest gift we can give to ourselves, to our loved ones, to the world is to make that basic connection and stop paying for and causing the suffering of cows and pigs and chickens and fishes and these other animals by eating meat, dairy products, and eggs. So then we would draw our support from that, and then we can give our support to people who are doing their best to help create harmony in the world through food. Food is our most intimate connection with nature and with our society. You can't get more intimate with someone than eating. It becomes literally our body. Mm-hmm. So we should be very aware of what we're eating and make sure that it's grown with love as much as we can. Grow your own food or know the people you're getting it from if possible. That's really very helpful. But it should definitely be organic, whole, organic, plant-based foods, as living as possible. And then we're connecting in with the wellspring of a high vibrational life. We're connecting with high vibrations that have to do with joy and freedom and peace, because we're sowing seeds of joy and freedom and peace in our relationships with other living beings. And animals have just as much interest in their lives as we do. It's just that we don't care about their interests. But when that happens, pretty soon we find people above us that don't care about our interests. And that's what happens. I mean, when we sow those seeds that we don't care about their interests because they're below us, pretty soon it's inevitable. It's absolutely unavoidable, because that's the way the universe works. What you sow, you reap. We live in a society of delusion, of an empire of lies. And it's just everywhere you look. I mean, mm-hmm. Basically, we have to really understand that clearly. We have to rely on alternative media. And the main alternative media is from our own inner wisdom. The two things I emphasize, number one is going vegan, you know, living your outer life as an expression of kindness and caring and respect. That's number one, going vegan in the sense of a life of ahimsa or nonviolence. But number two is a spiritual life, a spiritual path. And that means quieting our mind and taking time to connect with nature and with our own true nature.
And that's something the globalists don't want us to do, right? The globalists want people who don't question authority, who do what they're told, who believe the official stories, and go right into the gulag. You know, we don't want to do that. We need to really connect with our own inner wisdom and then begin to co-create communities that are decentralized and going vegan and then going deeper in our own quest for understanding what we actually are. You know, what are we? What is this being? What is our free will, actually? And how can we connect more deeply with our true nature beyond the being that has been colonized? So there's this toxic program that's overlaid. And really, it's very interesting. It's kept in place by only a small handful of people, really, who have a huge amount of money and power and are able to pull it off through the mass media and the educational system and all the institutions that have evolved over the last few thousand years. In many ways, we are mistreated from the time we're born, even before we're born, by well-meaning people. Our parents usually are well-meaning, but they've been wounded. It's gone through the generations. And when you have birth with violence, and there's a lot of violence in the way we do this, the medical establishment, in the way it sees birth as a medical procedure, and using drugs and then vaccines, by the way, I have to say, I mean, they're the gift that keeps on giving for the pharmaceutical industry, because they're designed to weaken what we are physically and spiritually, so that later there will be more chronic disease. And it's very clear. I mean, the data on this is unmistakable. If you go back to the 60s, the percentage of people that had chronic disease was like 6%. It was very small. Yeah. And then in 1986, they took all the liability away from the vaccine manufacturers for any damage. And instead of getting like maybe four vaccines, I was born back in the early 1950s. So I only had like three or four vaccines. And back then, people were very distrustful of vaccines. And they were getting sued. The vaccine manufacturers were getting sued all the time. And they were going to go out of business. They were going to stop that. There wasn't going to be any more. And then they say, we need to have protection from the government. So the government gave them complete protection. And now kids are getting vaccinated with 30 or 40 or 50, I mean, different things. And chronic disease has gone from 6% to like 54%. I mean, and chronic disease means people that are on pharmaceutical drugs for the rest of their life, very often. So this has been a massive transfer of wealth to the pharmaceutical industry over the last few decades. And they use that money very well. They use it to buy the media, to buy the government, to buy the education of doctors, so that they're basically just promoting pharmaceutical drugs and procedures, and to basically to buy the narrative. And they are very powerful, but even more powerful than them are the wealthy elite in the background that own them. And it's just about transferring wealth and power more and more from us to this tiny elite. And we have to understand that very clearly. It's a war against humanity. And it's just basically the livestockization of humanity, turning us into livestock. If we're going to turn cows and pigs and chickens, free living, beautiful beings, into livestock, we're sowing the seeds. So they want us, the globalists want us to eat animal foods. Animal agriculture is the main deception. That's the grandmother, grandfather deception. When you deceive people into thinking that they need to eat animal foods to get protein and calcium and kill animals, that's the great wound. Then they start eating misery and violence. And then you can pretty much lead them, like you've got a ring in their nose, and you can lead them around after that. But the other big deceptions are like the medical deception, the media deception, war deception, like population. There's so many, climate change. I mean, there's a whole bunch of deceptions that are used to take away our freedom and lock us down, basically, and make us afraid. So these are the deeper truths, I think, that we have to begin to understand. And once we do, then we have freedom. We have the freedom. Like Jesus said, when you know the truth shall set you free. And it does. It really does. There's no reason for us to be terrorizing animals, creating these authoritarian systems of domination and exploitation of the weak by the strong. It's just all a reflection of this old wound of animal agriculture. So the most important thing is we go vegan, we understand why, and then we begin to co-create at the local level, I think is really the way to do it. Start growing our own food. Like, you know, just try to create local empowered communities based on healthy food, healthy living, and sharing information, creating maybe a cell of like-minded people who are prepared in case, you know, because I think the system that we're depending on, the larger system, is starting to collapse. And that's part of, I think, the plan is to collapse it. And because when you create something, you create a lot of panic, and then people are more easily controlled. Then they come, you know, then we go to the authorities and say, please help us, save us. Don't do it. Don't ask them to be saved. They'll put you in a nice prison cell and you'll be safe forever. So we have to really save ourselves. We have to get more self-reliant. You know, I was born and raised in Concord, Massachusetts. I learned to swim in Walden Pond. When I got older, I started reading Emerson and Thoreau, and they had the first vegan community actually back in the 1840s, Fruitlands. Emerson wrote his essay, Self-Reliance. It's so important to become self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-responsible. That's what freedom really is. Freedom is being responsible for the quality of our life, the quality of our relationships, the quality of what we're putting into the world. When we take responsibility for that, we're empowered to create a beautiful world. And each one of us can do it. Thoreau, when he wrote his essay on civil disobedience, he said that in there somewhere. He said, one person can bring the whole system to its transformation. You know, one of us, I mean, each one of us, when we have tremendous power, I think we can't even imagine. If we can love enough and wake up enough, you know, so that's the thing to cultivate is our own capacity. We can contribute in a way that maybe is disruptive in some way, but we're not disrupting out of anger. We're disrupting out of creating something positive. And I think that's really, each one of us has to find our unique way of doing that. It's great to see you doing it so well, really.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, going from the victim mindset into the creator right. mindset is really something that, yeah, I think is so important for people to understand which mindset they've been living in and start moving towards that. So yeah, very well said.
Thank you all, everyone, for your attention and your awareness and your efforts, your aspirations. You know, we are in this together. I mean, even though that's what they like us to say, that it's sort of a guilt trip, but we are really in it. But it's each one of us has the power to make a better world, and it's great to see it happening. And the most important thing, I think, in an age like we're in now, is don't comply with tyrannical mandates. Just don't comply with them. It may be difficult, and we may be really challenged, but I think that's very important to just don't go along. That's what veganism is, right? We don't comply, even though everybody's, oh, come on, just it won't hurt anybody. Just have a little piece of cheese. And no, I'm not going to cause it suffering to other beings. I'm going to respect the sovereignty of myself and respect the sovereignty of these other beings. And so we have to continue that even more forcefully in some ways than ever.
Yeah, 100%.
Great. All right. Thanks, everyone. Much love.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching the Raw Misfit Show.
Much thanks to Matt Bennett, Raw Intuition, for sharing his feature with Dr. Will Tuttle as we discuss holistic health, freedom, and vegan awareness. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Peace to all. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.